Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, I've been doing a lot of thinking about how I can contribute to the show more and to the marriage.
It's about time.
And you know how you're a doctor?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
And you know how by being married to you, I'm sort of a doctor?
No, that's not.
Honorary.
No, God, not a thing.
If you are listening to this and you have a university, please, I'll do anything to get an honorary doctorate.
And you
doctorate.
Have a university? If you own a university.
If you are a university and you're listening to this, whoa, those are some big headphones. Unless you're feeding us online, in which case you're just plugged into the grid. Anyway, I'm going to contribute more because I feel like you are sort of like, so you're a real doctor, right?
Right. I am a real doctor.
So what I'm thinking is I want to be more of like a folk doctor. You know what I mean? Like, folk remedies. No,
like I thought you meant like folksy, like,
well, like Patch Adams. Like,
hi, how y'all doing?
Yeah, that's like a bumpkin Patch Adams. No, I want to be like you know how people say like their legs are hurting because their arthritis when it's about to rain or something. Like, I want to do all medical testing that way.
Oh, so like, in order to diagnose arthritis, you're just gonna wait till it rains and then go door to door and
how are you feeling?
If their knees hurt?
Or if they say, I think I have arthritis, doc, I'll say, let me check that forecast. I'll get you a diagnosis pronto. Like, let me give you one right now. Anemia, okay?
Okay.
If you rub a gold ring on somebody's skin and it makes a black line, then they are anemic. There is one, well, another test for me to do.
No, that's actually not true. But I'll give you a little bit of a pass in that you're not, I think a lot of people think that.
How can it be true if I think it? How can it not be true if I'm like, if I know? How would I know if it wasn't true?
Where did you hear about that?
Gosh, you know, folk has been passed down.
Exactly.
Folk medicine Sydney has been passed down from generations to generations.
The thing about
could have
stuff
been my
that
nonny,
gets,
my nonny's nonny, my nonny's nonny's nonny. It's impossible to say.
The thing about stuff that gets passed down generation to generation is that, as nice as that is, as comforting as that is, it doesn't necessarily make it true. It might be, but that one's not. That's not true. You're probably just reacting to the metal in the ring if you have a black line on your finger from a, it has nothing to do with an, I mean, like, you know, to diagnose anemia you need a blood test, right?
I
can look at patients and sometimes say like, I see some signs that maybe they're anemic, but like I really need that blood test to be, you know.
Agree to disagree, sure. But I think that it's probably for the best since I don't know what anemia is and I don't know how to treat it.
Okay, well, maybe we should back up a little bit.
Okay,
maybe we should talk about what anemia is, but maybe a little broader than that, because this is, this is Sawbones.
Sure.
Right? This is a medical history podcast.
Rough and raw.
And we like to deal
real
in
and ribbled.
The historical stuff that maybe sometimes is a little funnier. And so why don't we talk about something called green sickness?
Okay.
Okay.
Like Kermit had.
Yes. Like Kermit.
And it wasn't easy, folks. But he dealt with that struggle every day.
You know what? I'm really glad. I knew that joke was going to happen in this episode, and I'm glad you got it out of the way right now.
Joke is very liberal. You're being very, very loose with the term.
So we're going to talk about green sickness. Thank you, Crystal, for recommending this topic. And as we've kind of alluded to, when we talk about green sickness, which is not a disease that exists anymore, like, you won't find that in medical literature. It's not like you...
We cured it. Congratulations,
no,
humanity.
No,
we
just
eradicated it. Coming for you next, guinea worm.
No, well, good, but no. Okay. It's not that we eradicated it. It's that it was... another example of us kind of seeing some sort of syndrome in patients and tagging it with a name that had all kinds of connotations and all kinds of strange treatments, but really ended up probably being different diseases. And having nothing to do with what we thought, you know, was originally causing it. So, for instance, green sickness largely would be what we think of as a hypochromic anemia today, which just means it's a kind of anemia where if you look at the red blood cells underneath the microscope, they look pale in the center, hypochromic, less okay. color, right? Mm-hmm. So they look pale, and that's usually caused, the most common, by iron deficiency. Now, there are some other genetic disorders that can cause it, but for the most part, we were probably dealing with iron deficiency. Now, again, since green sickness also encompassed some other things, we'll kind of get into that, but that's largely what we're going to talk about is the anemia portion. Okay. It was also known as chlorosis.
Okay.
Which comes from the root for green.
Oh, like chlorophyll.
Yeah. And also called the pale or white sickness, because the general idea is that people who had it would be very pale, right? Would have a very pale complexion, because most of them are anemic, and they may even appear a little green tinged because they were so pale. That's where the name comes from.
Now, did we have an understanding of what anemia was at this point?
No.
Okay.
No. When you go back, you can see like Hippocrates and Galen making some references to something that may have been anemia to, you know, people who, especially women. Green sickness was largely a disorder of women. Not that men couldn't get anemia, but it was just, it tended to be associated with females. And there was an association with women around the age that they started menstruating, that they might get green sickness.
Okay.
Which is not like a crazy thought, because
you do lose iron during your period.
Right. When you start having periods, some women do suffer from some iron deficiency anemia as a result. So mm-hmm. that's not like a crazy association. But we don't really see anybody, you know, knowing that it has to do necessarily with blood loss. And we really don't see it defined as a disease until the 1500s.
Hmm.
And like I said, it was mainly seen as a disease of young women. Although it happened about the time that they started menstruating, it really wasn't associated with their periods as much as the fact that they were still virgins.
Oh, okay.
So it was thought to have something to do with the fact that these were women who were now officially of childbearing age,
mm-hmm.
because they'd started their periods, but they had not yet gotten married.
Got it.
Okay. So it was also sometimes called the virgin's disease.
Mm.
Also lover's fever. Sometimes
I like that one.
Green sickness kind of associated with the idea of love sickness.
Sounds like a 1960s screwball comedy starring Tony Curtis. I'm into it.
What?
Lover's fever.
Lover's fever.
Yeah. Coming to movie screens this summer, a sizzling new adventure.
About
Tony Curtis, Judy Garland.
About anemia?
The streets are hot.
And Judy Garland is very tired and a little short of breath.
Tempers
quite pale.
Tempers are high, iron counts low.
It was also described as a term for it was the disease of maids occasioned by celibacy.
Not very catchy.
No, but I like the idea that you are occasioned by celibacy.
Oh, hello.
It's just kind of
just happened this way.
Just
I don't
happened
know.
To
didn't
you.
Plan, didn't set out to be celibate. Just didn't do it. Oh, had opportunities.
Shakespeare wrote a lot about green sickness, referring to women as being green or sick and green or those kinds of references. And it was used as a way to describe a woman who may have been what they also would have called lovesick. Lovesickness was thought to be a disease process as well.
Mm.
And it was the accurate. Sickness you get when you're in love with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is with green sickness, you didn't necessarily have to be in love with one person. It was just basically you had it because you weren't getting any.
And got it.
So it didn't matter. Like, you didn't need a specific person to fix
it.
The problem.
Okay, got it. Any person.
And you see that association. Like, sometimes you would get, you see, like, Shakespeare references this in other writers, that anybody who's kind of squeamish about sex, maybe they're just, they've got green sickness.
Oh, got the green sickness. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very, very
so it's kind of like some,
point of view
it's
there.
Kind of like a, I don't know if like effeminate connotations would be the way, but like weak willed or weak spirited, like sort of connotations to it, right? Like,
yes.
Not just women, but there's an yeah. implication that like you don't have a strong stomach or something like that, right?
Yeah. People, so people who had green sickness were thought to be kind of weak and puny. It was the syndrome you would diagnose in a woman who, you know, like we kind of talked about, was of that age and a virgin and whatnot, maybe sexually squeamish or whatever. But they also were usually pale, tired, short of breath, pretty weak. They might have headaches. They might just in general have an upset stomach and not eat very much. So yeah, exactly. The connotation of green sickness is that you're not full of like life and vitality. And,
I gotcha.
And of course, what goes along with this is the inherent, I mean, sexism in it.
Sure.
The idea that women who are of childbearing age, who have not yet, you know, become sexually active, are somehow sick.
Diseased.
Yes, that you have a disease and that you need a man to cure it.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I can see some. Yeah, you know, now that you put it that way, I could definitely see a problem or two with that, just from like an overarching point of view.
And you could be diagnosed with this just for being like a young woman who's kind of grouchy. They'd go like, well, I mean, obviously she's got green sickness, and you know we know the cure for that.
Yeah.
Get married,
lady. Like how we used to call people spinsters, which is not a thing anymore.
Right.
Like, we don't call people spinsters anymore. But like definitely.
Like the one thing, like on a side note, that's the one problem I have.
It's a Wonderful Life, aren't you?
It's a Wonderful Life, okay. Which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I'm not saying it's not. It's just that the absolute worst thing that he finds about his life when he goes to the alternative universe where he's never been born, the absolute worst thing that happens is poor Mary, his wife, is now an old spinster who works in the library.
An old spinster.
Like, that's the worst.
An old spinster, and like, let's be clear, Donna Reed looks terrific. She's probably 33 years old. I mean, it's absolutely madness. She'll never find love. What are you talking about? It's Donna Reed. She's in her mid-30s. James, maybe just relax a little bit, dude.
She's gorgeous. Now, I mean, they did put the glasses on her. Oh, which so is it's like a universal sign like,
she's all that itis.
So, exactly. Yeah. She's got the glasses on.
I don't know what you're so sit there, Jimmy. Maybe take the glasses off and, you know, muss our hair up a little bit. Who knows? Thanks, Clarence. You're not helping.
That is the only problem I have with the movie. That's the only problem I have. So back to, should we talk about green sickness again? Yeah, or do you want to talk about It's a Wonderful Life?
No, okay. Please. Green sickness.
So in 1554, Johannes Lang, who was a German doctor, described green sickness. And that's where we see like the first really good description of what this is and kind of like from a medical standpoint, although it really isn't a thing at the time from a medical standpoint. He describes it. He notes that it's a virgin problem. And as such, we see our first big treatment recommendation, which is, you know, get pregnant.
Gross.
And then it'll, you know, everything will be okay.
I don't mean to say pregnancy is gross. I mean, like, it's gross that would be a prescription.
It was thought even just having sex, even if you didn't get pregnant, would fix it too. Mm-hmm. So just don't be a virgin or get pregnant, and that would be the best thing. Now, to be fair, I will say that, like, if you are having periods and you're losing a lot of iron and then you stop having periods, you...
So they were right. You heard it here first, folks.
But you could also
local doctor sides with old-timey dudes.
No. But anyway, that was what they thought a remedy for green sickness was. And there's a horrible poem that I refuse to reference anything other than that it's called A Remedy for the Green Sickness. And if you are somebody who wants to read awful sexist poems from, you know, the 1500s,
Jam.
Go check that out. it's also suggested that this may be the result of poisoning, that somehow a woman she's poisoned herself. Mm. And a lot of this was thought to be related to like a buildup of blood and stuff within the uterus,
mm-hmm.
because you're menstruating. So now we know that's coming out of you. So we know that it's
hanging out there somewhere.
Right. They're just guessing.
Yeah.
And so that maybe that's poisoning you. And so it was advised to use something called mithridate. So mithridate was an anti-poisoning.
It was a mispronunciation of mystery date.
Mithridate. Is this something? I feel like this is something game. That would have shown up in one of your like those games that you play where you're like a wizard and stuff.
Yeah.
Has mithridate ever shown up?
You mean like a video game or like?
Like a video game? Like when you like? Have you ever heard of this? I feel like this is something that should show up in one of your games.
No.
It was a. It's a like it was a very popular concoction that you used for any kind of poisoning. So it was used like across many, many years. And
I'm sure it has been. Someone will tweet at me. Yeah.
And
I don't read that stuff. I just like the hitting people with swords.
It had varying ingredients, up to 65, and it depended on which source you read. And it included all kinds of things, from just like cinnamon and saffron and rhubarb to like both myrrh and frankincense were in there. Turpentine, parsley, just all kinds of stuff was in this. You pound that all up and take it with some honey about the size of an almond, and it was thought to cure pretty much any poisoning that could happen.
Right.
This is such a crazy cure that even Pliny thought it was kind of nuts. And this seems right up his alley, right? Like, it's got a ton of ingredients. It makes no sense. But let me tell you what Pliny said about it. Pliny said, the Mithridatic antidote is composed of 54 ingredients, no two of them having the same weight. While some of it is prescribed 1/60th part of one denarius, which of the gods in the name of truth fixed these absurd proportions? No human brain could have been sharp enough. It is plainly a showy parade of the art and a colossal boast of science.
That is so prophetic of Pliny.
Even Pliny knew.
Pliny saw the whole thing.
So our old buddy Pliny the Elder got this one right. So in 1681, Sydenham, who had a lot to say about a lot of stuff, classified green sickness as one of the hysterical diseases.
Fake.
Right. And at the time, that's not what he meant. But it was. I mean,
it's a useful classification, though.
Yes. It means fake stuff that only happened to women. he did advise iron for it. The theory was that iron would kind of invigorate you and wake up your libido.
Ooh.
But I mean, I don't know about that, but it is good for anemia. In general, at this period, the two culprits behind green sickness were thought to be laziness. And then, of course, again, love is still a theme. So you could just give everybody a job and keep them really busy, and that would prevent it. And we see like this common theme of that it has to do with fear of sex or sexual repression or something like that. And that continues, you know, that was initially associated with it and that has not gone away. And so we see like this repeated theme of like green sickness and love sickness, and women can get sad and mad and desperate to be married, and that they desperately need to no longer be virgins. And, you know, a lot of associations with stuff that just seems really convenient. For men.
Sorry, yeah. Again about all everything, ladies.
In the 1700s, the theory behind green sickness was mainly that when women started to menstruate, their humors would build up in their uterus, kind of, and get stuck there, and they would be obstructed, and it would make them very sick. They also had the suggestion that it's either that or it probably has to do with masturbation. Either way, there were some interesting case studies that came out of that time period where they talked about women who had green sickness, and one symptom of green sickness was, even though they didn't like to eat a lot of food, they would want to eat something like chalk or cinders or dirt.
Well, like with pica?
Exactly. So they were really describing pica, which is associated with iron deficiency anemia. Again, they didn't know that. They just thought, oh, they've got green sickness, they're going crazy, and now they want to eat dirt. And then there was also this idea from the time period that it had to do with some sort of blockage of your spleen. But again, the spleen was blamed for all kinds of crazy stuff back then.
So. I know. I feel bad for the spleen. It got a bad rap and then everybody just got rid of it. Nobody even knows what it's for.
I mean, I do, but we'll talk about that in another episode.
I don't believe you. I mean, I don't believe that we'll talk about it, but I triple don't believe you don't need it for anything.
You need your spleen. You absolutely. Okay.
There's no way you need your spleen.
Yes, you. Okay.
Do people have their spleens removed?
Yes, sometimes.
Your Honor, the defense rests.
But there are problems from that.
Grinder rests, Your Honor.
Okay. We're not going to talk about a spleen anymore. We're going to go to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre
for the mouth. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Sid, scrubs aren't like any other kind of clothes. Is that right? Scrubs aren't just like regular clothes. They're action clothes. They're clothes you gotta be able to perform in.
That's true. That's true. I definitely think that function is the primary concern with scrubs, but as someone who spends I don't want to say the majority of my life, but at least half of my life. No, it is the majority of my time in scrubs. I also
don't know about sleeping. You don't sleep in scrubs.
No, but you could if they're comfortable enough, which these are. But you also want them to look nice. Mm-hmm. And that's what's nice about Figs is that they are very functional. I'm not worried about when I'm down on the sidewalk doing my street medicine and my Figs. But also, I look nice. I get compliments on them. People don't always know they're scrubs.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how nice they look.
Well, that's a huge compliment because I know a lot of times scrubs have a reputation for not looking great and also being kind of itchy.
Yeah, these are not itchy. They're super soft. They're comfortable. I don't sleep in them because I do wear them to work and that would not be sanitary. But if I washed them, I could sleep in them. That's how comfy they are.
Sid, what is the number one reason that you have to do laundry every single week for you personally?
My scrubs.
Your scrubs. And wouldn't that be a little bit easier for anybody who's in the scrub game if they stocked up a little bit, had a few backup pairs?
Absolutely. Get yourself some more Figs. They're antimicrobial, so they'll keep you protected. They're durable, so you can wash them over and over again if you need to, like I do. And like I said, you look nice. You're going to look like a TV doc.
Like a TV doctor.
Yeah, like a TV doc.
It's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year, and Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
So, Sydney, you were telling me about green sickness before the break, and I want to know more.
So, that's right, Justin. We're talking about green sickness. And as we move throughout the 1800s, we see a theme of one treatment in particular of iron, which makes a lot of sense.
Because you're iron deficient. It's the perfect treatment. 100% magic bullet.
And you even actually see a French writer during the time period, Auguste Saint Aramon, write a recipe for people who have green sickness for a chocolate you could make them that included like iron filings in iron, the chocolate.
Iron chocolate. Rock and roll.
So you know, we don't understand why this is helpful. We don't even understand what we're doing with it, but we do see that iron is a common theme.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that makes it a little tricky, because, I mean, usually we stumble upon this stuff by accident, right? We didn't know green sickness was anemia. Turns out it is. We gave people iron. They got better. So we kind of figured it out accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing about green sickness is that while definitely a lot of cases were probably actually just anemia, iron deficiency anemia, some other weird things may have been thrown in there, which led to a lot of odd treatments. For instance, sometimes women would claim that, and this is one thought, sometimes it would be reported that green sickness could cause you to stop having periods, which mm-hmm. doesn't make sense, right, if we're tying it to anemia.
Right. Because
you'd think more periods would make you more anemic. So there is some thought that sometimes women would claim green sickness when they were actually pregnant.
Oh, as a cover-up?
As like a cover-up, and as also a way to be able to go to, you know, like a pharmacist or somebody who had medicines that might help start periods. And maybe if there was a pregnancy that was unwanted and they didn't want anybody to know about, they were seeking treatment for that.
Got it.
So there's some thought that was maybe some cases of green sickness. There's also some thought that maybe sometimes, because when you see that lack of period, that doesn't really make sense for anemia. So sometimes it may have actually been the condition of anorexia nervosa. Mm-hmm. So this may have actually been a psychiatric condition.
So their iron was low because they weren't eating enough?
Because they weren't eating, because it was a nutritional issue, which is why you would have anemia and not be having periods. You wouldn't be losing blood.
Yeah.
But so you see all kinds of different strange treatments because we really don't know exactly what we're treating or what this entity is, or, you know, like most of these things, it's multiple different things. So in addition to iron, we see throughout the 1800s, steel filings. You could powder them also and then boil them in white wine and add some spices and delicious. Some sugar. And
yeah, I'm into it.
It's like mulled wine, only with metal.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
And it fixes your green sickness?
Sort of.
Which regular wine does not?
Frequent exercise was a common treatment. It's like you're tired and you don't have any blood. Well, we don't know that, but you don't.
I mean,
have
that is pretty forward so looking. Exercise? Like, it is a good way to get more energy.
Yeah, but if you're anemic, that won't fix it.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
The problem is not that you're. You know that anemia isn't laziness, right?
It's laziness in obtaining and consuming iron, though. People were telling you, hey, can you go to the iron store and buy some iron? Just slam it. You're like, yeah, I'll get there later. Like, I don't wanna.
No, that's not what that means. Another recipe that I found from the time period is that you could take half a quarter of an ounce of pearl in powder, an ounce of powder of steel, cloves, mace, nutmeg, and each half a quarter of an ounce of all those things, and then you dry them and you make into a powder and you sift it, and then you take a pound of sugar and beat it and sift it again, and then chop this all up with a knife, and then take as much of that as you can fit on a sixpence and eat it morning and afternoon at 4 o'clock and exercise while you do it.
And do what?
I don't know. I don't even know. Like, by the time you're done with this, you don't even care if you're anemic, right?
I guess.
It's like,
yeah.
Whatever. I'm just exhausted from this treatment. You feel better. You do that for a couple days, and then you're like, forget it. I'm going to stop doing it. And then you have so much free time and energy.
Yeah, I feel great.
They don't have to do that anymore. Bloodletting, of course, was a common treatment for everything. So why not also for what turned out to be anemia?
Yeah.
Oops.
I wonder how good it is to like treat a fake disease with a fake treatment. Like if the two cancel each other out at some point. Placebo effect. That's not what that means, but maybe.
No, well, I don't think in this case, since these people are anemic and like you're bleeding them.
That's true. That's fair.
Another treatment that I saw a lot were tepid baths, which, I mean,
that seems like it would chill you out more. It seems like to get that energy that you crave, you want to jump into like an ice cold bath.
Well, but again, this is anemia, so like you can't like just will it away. You can't like take a cold shower and get over your anemia. Down.
Like, I know, Sydney, I'm not suggesting
it. You're acting like everybody with anemia is just really lazy.
No, I'm just saying for the time period. I'm not like sitting here saying like, here are Justin's 2016 methods for curing anemia that really definitely work. Take it from him. He knows what anemia is.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, I told you and you seem to have already forgotten, so.
It's when you're tired and you don't have enough iron.
Sort of.
So yeah.
You don't have your hemoglobin low. Oxygen carrying capacity
He's
of your blood.
So smart.
Okay, do you know what hemoglobin is? It carries oxygen to your cells.
Yes.
Like, I explained this to you, right?
It's the sticky part of blood. Not the part, but the sticky part.
No. It carries oxygen to all your cells in your body. And so you need enough of it to do that. And if you don't have enough, you're not getting any oxygen.
It's blue usually, right?
Okay, forget it. Some other treatments to go along with Justin's fake theories. Iodine, ergot, aloe, mercury were all used. Riding a horse was recommended.
Okay.
Jumping rope.
Because it's majestic and like it's good for everything.
Yeah, just because somebody was just like, I like riding horses. Ride a horse.
Maybe that'll help.
Sure. Jump rope. Wear some flannel underwear.
No, I don't want to do any of these things.
Brisk rubbing with a coarse towel.
What? No, thank you. I would prefer not.
Eat tender meat.
Okay.
Or apply friction over the loins and abdomen.
And like, of the woman?
Well, of the patient, but yeah, most of the patients it was mostly diagnosed among women.
That's so unpleasant. That's like such an unpleasant way to spend your time.
Well, yeah. Was it the mercury that you thought was really pleasant or the brisk rubbing with a coarse towel?
That one actually bugs me the most, I think. It seems very intentional and personal. I don't like that.
Malt liquor was a recommended treatment.
Now we're back. Welcome, story.
Which you're going to need some malt liquor
you
after all of that.
You have my interest, and now you have my attention.
After all of that brisk rubbing and friction over your loins and than jumping rope and eating mercury and iodine. I think the least you could do is offer somebody some malt liquor after that regimen.
Yeah, you've earned it. Take a ride on the hurricane.
And just to top it off, why not some laxatives?
Well, no. I'd rather not. I want to stop at the hurricane. Thank you.
Warm barley water was really common, especially just add some wine in that and then put your feet in a warm bath. Which, I mean, that's nobody knows. Like, that sounds relaxing.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not gonna hurt, I guess. It will chill you out about the fact that you have this fake disease.
And it's certainly better than one of the more radical options for treatment that I found for green sickness, which was quit school.
Applicable to women only. Come on, ladies. Yeah,
just quit school. It's just that it's putting such a strain on your poor little your woman brain.
Yeah.
You know, to
you're
be
not
in
ready
school
for the challenge.
That see, the strain on your brain is making you like anemic. It's all the iron that you need to think.
It's very complicated.
So you wouldn't understand.
A man just wouldn't understand. You
leave
don't
it
understand.
To us men. Go get in a tepid bath. Eat some aloe or mercury. No, we don't know the difference. No, if you can ride a horse
aloe
later,
is on the agenda.
Wear some flannel underwear. I'll be over later to briskly rub you with a coarse towel. It'll be okay. Here's your malt liquor and your laxative. Just go home and
have
stop,
a good Tuesday.
Stop studying math. We know you don't get it anyway.
Here's your hurricane and X-lax. Please enjoy yourself.
There were thought to be actually outbreaks of this, what they sometimes would refer to as a special women's anemia, which at least it's special, right?
Yeah.
Like, thanks, guys. You're going to give us an anemia and it's special.
Anemia all to your own, ladies.
Special lady anemia.
Come visit this anemia whenever you want.
Thanks. But they thought there were outbreaks of it in boarding schools. And so that was often what they would just recommend is like, oh no, we've had another outbreak of green sickness and this just happens when you get all these girls together. So just tell them all to quit school.
And what was the other one? Drink barley wine?
Yeah, barley water and wine.
And take a nice bath. Just relax, ladies.
Yeah. And just like, you know, stop
just
wearing yourself
stop
out.
Learning. That's the key thing.
We finally, by the late 1800s, we start to tie like the symptoms of what we call green sickness for the most part to anemia. And like I said, not every woman who was ever diagnosed with green sickness was anemic. I mean, likely it's, you know, I've compared it to hysteria several times in that hysteria was a fake disease. I mean, it wasn't a real thing. It encompassed probably a lot of different medical issues. And I think green sickness also was different things, although the majority of cases, I think it would be fair to argue that they were probably related to anemia. And we figure that out in the late 1800s. It isn't until 1936 that we finally identify for sure, like, green sickness is not a thing. Take that out of the medical books. Like, the term, you know, is disregarded at this point. And we start to call, you know, patients with this disorder, iron deficiency anemia. And that's also when it kind of stops being like a woman's disease.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, anybody can be iron deficient.
Is it new? This is slightly off topic, but is it nutritional?
Iron deficiency?
Yeah.
It depends. It could be. And certainly we do supplement people with iron. It could be due to blood loss, actually. Like slow chronic blood loss.
Got a whole story
you just
you're
not
about.
You don't have enough. You're not replacing those stores enough, you know, fast enough because you're, well, I mean, you don't have a, well, yeah, you have a hole you're leaking. No, you probably know. Can. Hopefully you would notice that. It's usually lost through the GI tract. Or in women, periods can be a source of this kind of anemia, certainly. But men can bleed too. Like, is that, did I need to say that? Men can bleed too.
No, men can bleed. We're not animals up here. We're not iron giants. We still cried at the movie Iron Giant. What do you want from us?
So, but nutritional could be a problem too. It's you know, usually they're a storage or a production or a loss problem when it comes to anemia. But we figure that out, and then we can, once we know that you're anemic, we can do through a blood test, right? That's how like I said in the beginning, I can look for certain signs, like I can look at your palms or like at your conjunctiva, kind of like the inner lining of your eyelids.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can look at the inside there and see.
How's it looking palm wise?
Yours are fine.
Nice.
Yes. Nice and rosy.
Thanks.
You're rosy palmed.
My rosy palms.
You don't want to be too rosy palmed, then you have liver disease. It's a whole other episode. Now,
I'll keep an eye on that, though. If you're okay, I'm just going to obsessively kind of check them.
Well, either that or you're pregnant.
I mean, I'm going to go with the prior probably, but either way.
Now we don't have this. The idea of green sickness, of course, that's not a thing. I mean, just like hysteria, it was wrong. It's not a disease process. We just do a blood test if we think you're anemic, and then we don't give people blood just because they're anemic. You have to meet certain thresholds. So if you're just a little low, chances are we're not gonna, you know, I mean, there are exceptions, but for the most part, we're not just gonna replace your blood.
Are you, I mean, you'll rectify the situation?
Yes, give you tools to help your body replace the blood on its own is usually the goal. I mean, depending on what the cause is, but we don't diagnose green sickness anymore. But it's a legacy lives on. Anybody who reads Shakespeare has probably come across green ladies here and there.
I always feel a little sad whenever we say goodbye to a disease forever because it doesn't exist.
You know what? As a woman, and usually since these are diseases that we're used to, like, you know, keep women in like a submissive position, like to use it to oppress us further. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of okay with saying goodbye to these diseases.
Well, agree, as I say, to disagree. Am I using that right?
No. Right. Well, I mean, you're just wrong in this situation.
That's fine. So that's going to do it for us talking about green sickness. We'll miss you, green sickness. Sorry that you weren't real.
Okay, no, we won't miss you, green sickness. Goodbye, because green one sickness. Of the main treatments for green sickness was to tell ladies to just go get laid.
So we're dropping out
your
of
problem,
school.
Your, yeah, it was your like problem.
A, it was like a reverse. It was like a reverse after school special. It's just like an endless series of women dropping out of school and having premarital sex.
Your problem, young lady, is that you cannot. You will be sick and incomplete until you quit school and get a husband.
Yeah, and that's until then you're gonna have your green sickness.
Yeah. So that's not true. Stop that.
Want to say big thanks to Maximum Network for having us as part of their family. You can go to MaximumFun.org. Find a ton of great shows, including My Brother and Me, which is an advice show that I do with my brothers, and it's fun. We want to thank the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro for our program. And I think that's going to do it for us. Until the next time we have a topic to talk with you all about, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.